Teen Sports listeners, I'm your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday.
This whole hour of Santa Barbara Teen Athletes. Woo! And we're talking all athletes.
Woo! We're live! All right. Thank you for that intro. In the house, we've got Dominique Hackett, Alex Ramirez, Master Curtis, Sky Ellsworth, Dr. May, all the way from Rome. I'm so excited. We put together this group because we're going to be introducing here on today, first time, gentlemen. I'm so excited. Dominique, you want to do the intro?
Ryan, who has done an amazing job of writing a book, speaking from the point of view of an 18-year-old on self-mastery. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, so how did we meet Ryan? Let's dial it back a little bit.
Well, I met Ryan because I have a longtime friend, Kirk Rudin, who's a Santa Barbara architect, an amazing architect. And he, through his journeys, got introduced to Ryan, who is a Santa Barbara City College student studying, I believe, psychology.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get to him. We're going to start the show off with him, probably do the remainder of the show with Ryan, because what I love about it is I've been looking, he's an answer to my prayers, because I've been looking for this generation, somebody, he's kind of like when I first met you, Sky, a master, a prodigy kind of kid, really smart, you know, and he's got great hair, okay, like you, okay? You guys, I don't know if it's the curly hair, I don't understand. I can imagine him in 3 or 4 years not cutting his hair, and then you guys are kindred spirits, and I wanted to hook you guys up today. We've got Dr. May in Rome. She has her PhD in psychology. Ryan's thinking about going in that route. We pretty much surrounded him right now with a lot of love, and I want to get to him, so let's not delay, all right? Let's go to break, and we'll be back with Ryan right after these messages.
Well, now together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and a man. Oh, yeah. Together we'll stand, divided we'll fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together.
We are back, and this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Hello, welcome back. This is Dominique Hackett, and I help support Santa Barbara Wellness Center. And today on Teen Sports Radio, we have a new guest who might also become a co-host for Teen Sports Radio, Ryan Quirk. And Ryan has written a wonderful book on mastery from the point of view, self-mastery from the point of view of an 18-year-old. But my conversation with Ryan started out when we started talking about cold showers. Sky introduced me to cold showers, and Ryan was spontaneously talking about cold showers and ADHD. Can you share a little bit, starting from there, Ryan, about your journey with ADHD and the effect of cold showers?
Yeah, I can start there for sure. I believe it was my freshman year of high school. I'm 19 now. I'm the age of a sophomore in college, but I'm a freshman at the City College majoring in psychology. And when I was 14 years old, they brought me in for testing because all throughout middle school and kind of elementary school, I was always a very good student. But when I got to the high school level work where you had to sit in classes for longer periods of time and there was more memorization, my grades started to slip. Even though I was still kind of getting some of the general concepts, my grades started to slip. So they brought me in for testing. And at first I thought, like, I was like, oh my God, maybe I just like really like fallen off the deep end here. But they were like, no, you have ADHD. And I was like, okay, that's great. That's exciting. They put me on ADHD medication, and that can be a wonderful tool for many people and be great. But for me, I never really liked it. It never really seemed to help me focus more and stuff like that. So I was looking for alternative ways and alternative tools. And I saw somewhere that the main cause of ADHD in the brain is dopamine deficiency and then overflooding of dopamine when someone with ADHD gets really hooked on something that they love. So that's why we kind of see people with ADHD, like if they're doing something they love, you can't pull them away from it. If they're forced to do something they don't like, they can't stand it. And so I was looking for ways to balance out my dopamine, and I saw that cold showers like just a 2 minute cold shower in the morning, a freezing cold shower, even just blasting yourself with cold water at the end, skyrockets dopamine in the brain. I believe it's like somewhere crazy around like 300% with no drop off for 6 hours, which is the length of a school day. And so after that, I started taking cold showers. My mental health was up. I felt great. I was I was able to focus throughout the days. I felt much, much better.
Woohoo!
Nice.
I wanted to check in with Master Curtis. Do you tell your students about cold showers?
I might from now on, definitely.
But nice.
What we figured out was that doing exercise for 45 minutes a day will translate in a fix, or the opposite feeling of, you know, working for 6 to 8 hours a day. So if you're sitting on a computer and then you go work out, it actually it works against all those mal effects of sitting there, right? So similar. Whereas a little bit of time really will fix you up for the rest of the time, right? That little cold shower gives you the energy for the entire day. That's amazing.
Nice. Alex, what about you? Talk to me.
Yeah, I tend to take cold showers. I don't take showers in the morning. I do it at night after I train. So I'll do cold showers like the last 30 to 60 seconds of my shower time, and then, you know, try to get warm real quick right after. But yeah, I definitely do it a couple times a week. I don't do it every day, but a couple times a week for sure.
All right. Dr. May, are you a cold shower girl or no? I can't see it.
No, I have never tried it, but I might try it because I just heard it from you. So it's very interesting, and I love to experiment. So yes, for sure, I will try it tomorrow.
we accidentally fell into the cold shower because my water heater went out, and so I wasn't into it. But it does actually. I think it was like that's the thing before I started eating just meat. Okay, so I think if you combined it with just meat, I think you'll find yourself very sparky. Okay, let me tell you. All right, let's get to the whole science, the whole biology behind it. We've got future Dr. Sky Ellsworth in the house. Talk to us.
Well, I have a tendency to do cold showers a little bit more the way that Alex does. I like to warm everything up first to get really warm and then shock myself. So it turns out that it's actually that shocking feeling, that discomfort, that says to your body, oh no, I need to produce more dopamine, because it has to, you know, bring you back up to that I'm comfortable state. So you train your body to produce that amount of dopamine on its own, so you're not looking for those quick hits of dopamine like checking Facebook or Instagram or whatever throughout the day. So what the science is kind of showing now is that you actually want to do cold showers for maybe like 3-4 days out of the week, and then actually take time off, because otherwise your body will actually start to get used to it. So you can do it that way, or you can always start your shower, do it every day, but start your shower off warm and then go to cold, so you create that shock. And if you're not uncomfortable, it's not working, but you'll feel your body start to adapt. So after about day 3, day 4, when that cold water hits your cold sensors, your mitochondria start to produce something called cardioleptin, and they get a little bit more efficient at producing that hormone. So you'll turn on the cold water, and initially you get that shock, but very, very quickly you're like, oh, this isn't that bad. So you actually want it to be like, holy crap, like this is really not so comfortable for a little bit longer. So the body is functioning all entirely on adaptability, right? So as Master Curtis was talking about with exercise, anytime you take yourself out of a position of comfort into discomfort or something that your body's not used to, you set off a whole cascade of hormones and reactions in your body that eventually create a sense of adaptability and flexibility. So anytime a circumstance hits you in life, whether it's physical or emotional, and you're like, oh my God, well, I don't know how to handle this, whether it's, you know, something at school, some sort of drama, whether it's some sort of athletic event and you trip and fall and you twist something, you want your body to be able to adapt to those circumstances. So it's not just like if I have someone that comes to me and they have scoliosis, I'm not saying, you know, oh, I want to now straighten out your spine. It's okay, how can I encourage your body to adapt to this? So it's that adaptability can't happen unless you're throwing challenges at your body regularly. So as we were talking about with the carnivore diet earlier, you want to flip. right? You want to do a carnivore diet for a period of time and then completely flip and do a vegan diet for a period of time, right? You want to keep things moving and changing so your body continuously has to grow and adapt. And it's the same idea with the cold showers and the dopamine cycle. Every time you change things up for your body and your body has to evolve and adapt, you create that adaptability emotionally for handling life stressors. You create that adaptability physically, and you create that adaptability spiritually. And that's the goal of health.
I love it. So, Ryan, what made you decide to write a book about your journey through working on self-mastery?
Yeah, so in the book, I do touch on my journey a little bit. But the first way I kind of like to open it up is, what is the book giving to a reader, right, to someone who picks it up? And the first thing I say is that I'm not... Let me actually say this. The first thing that I say is that the product that I'm quote unquote selling, in a sense, is joy. That's really what the book is about, is how can we cultivate joy and love and creativity and resilience in our lives? How can we cultivate health? Because that's really what every human being is seeking. You know, if you go up to anyone and you say, hey, would you like to experience more joy and love and health and creativity and authenticity and better connections in your life, they'd be like, yeah, sign me up. So that's really what I touch on in the book. And what led me to that journey and such a deep interest in the field of positive psychology, specifically my field, that's what I want to go into, which is really cultivating self-actualized and self-mastered individuals, people who are have emotional intelligence and are happy and loving and feel like they have a purpose in this world and all that wonderful stuff. So for me, one of the things was when I was shortly after my ADHD diagnosis, around 15 or 16, I was also diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And I was dealing with weekly, what eventually became daily panic attacks, and really feeling out of control over my health, out of control over my mind. And I went the traditional routes, which can be absolutely wonderful and life-changing for people. You know, therapy, counseling, medication can be really wonderful tools. But what I didn't like was this idea that for the rest of my life, I was just going to have to kind of cope with it, that it was just going to kind of be there in the background. I was going to have to cope. And that was something that intuitively in my heart just never felt right. You know, in the same way, if you go to a doctor with a broken arm, they don't say your arm's broken forever. They put you in a cast, you go through rehab, you do some exercises and you get better. And I think it's the same thing with a lot of people's mental health, which is that you're not a slave to your diagnoses, and that really every human being, when given the right understanding and the right tools, has the power to live nothing short of an extraordinary life filled with love, filled with joy. And that's what I try to teach people in the book. And because that's what happened to me. I was having daily panic attacks, and now I really kind of know myself as one of the happiest people that I know. Everywhere, I mean, I wake up every morning, and one of my mantras every morning is I open my eyes, I take a deep breath, and I say, I'm back. And I just get super excited for the day. So it doesn't mean you never go through challenges, doesn't mean you don't occasionally have lows, but that's what I want to give to people, and that's what I try to give people in the book. Is the tools to find that joy again, that sense of childlike curiosity and excitement about life. That's what I really hope to spread.
Nice. Dominique?
I just want to say that Dr. May also went on a similar journey of finding self-healing, that how necessary and wonderful it is, that coming from being a victim of some sort of addiction and then healing yourself, and that journey, that individual journey. Dr. May, can you resonate to Ryan's story?
Yes, absolutely. And I will definitely read your book, Ryan, because I'm very interested in what you have to say. I have also written a book based on my personal experience, because also like with the addiction, there is this kind of stigma, like once an addict, always an addict. And I strongly disagree with it, because I believe that addiction is a self-medication for some kind of mental issue. And once you deal with the issue, once you make it resolve, then you're no longer enslaved by the addiction. You don't need to take medication. You don't need to take drugs. You don't need to drink alcohol. And also, maybe on this point, I even disagree with Alcoholics Anonymous, because they're saying that they always in recovery. And I believe in final recovery. Once you like really resolve all the problems that you have, and once you get back on track, once you plan your life ahead, then you don't need to call yourself an alcoholic or an addict, because you are no longer that person. Like, yeah. Even, you know, Christians will agree with me that even, you know, in the Bible, it says, you know, once you're a renewed person, like you can go and live your life, you know, like I think it was Jesus who said, like, you are healed, go and don't sin anymore. And that's it. You know, we don't need to bring to carry the weight of our past with us, because brain has a wonderful quality of neuroplasticity. So it can really heal itself, and you become a completely different person, the new version of yourself, which has nothing to do with your past.
Right. The reason why I believe in that 100%, when people say people don't change, it's just that's impossible, because every 7 years you have a new cellular structure. So you're a different person. You're not even the same person. Mm-hmm. When people say I've changed, embrace that person. Don't right away negatively say, oh, yeah, no, you're still that, you know, ASS that I met like 20 years ago. That's just not fair. And you're losing out on that new person. So I 100% believe in that. And I have a bunch, not, I shouldn't say all my friends, but I have a lot of friends that have had to beat something. And they often fall back on saying those things. And I said, that's not you. That might have been you at one time, but that's not you today. That's not the person I've known for 15 years. I've never seen you touch this. I've never seen you touch. However, turn it around. If you want to posture yourself and be a mentor from a person who got out of it and be that poster child, great. But put yourself out there like a mentor. Be like that Ryan. Be like that, you know, be that happy person and say, hey, you know, there's another side to this. I don't know, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, you know, whether you have diagnosis for ADHD or you have some type of addiction. It's, I think Ryan hit it perfectly. And same thing with Natalie. You have to know yourself. You really do. You have to know who you are. You have to figure it out. You know, and I think therapy, Ryan, one question I have for you real quick, though, is, besides the cold showers, the therapy, and the medication, was there anything else that helped you to overcome your ADHD?
Yeah. So what I would actually say is the therapy and the medication actually were not totally my path. What I was actually saying is that I think they can be wonderful tools for many people, and they can be used in a right way. But I took a more holistic approach to my kind of management and healing. So that for me, besides the cold shower, is probably one of the most integral practices. And it's a very misunderstood one, because it has a lot of kind of ideas clouded around it, is meditation. I've been meditating every single day since I started this journey, and it's been absolutely life-changing. So that's an example of one of the tools that I teach people and provide in the book. And the way that I kind of describe the practice of meditation, why it's been so powerful, is people think like, oh, you have to be meditating in a nature or in a cave somewhere. But for me, I just sit in this same chair that I am right now, and I meditate maybe 10 or 15 minutes every morning. And that's my practice. And the way I describe it is, imagine if someone was screaming right in your face. Meditation is the act of that person, being your mind and your overthinking, might still be screaming at you, but now they're like 20 feet away. You're kind of just able to watch them. Right? Because what happens is we get so caught in our own overthinking, there's no clarity. We feel so confused. We get caught in these negative thinking, feeling cycles and these negative beliefs. And meditation just kind of allows you to go, oh, and just get a little bit of distance between you and the negative thoughts. And it's been absolutely life-changing for me.
Wow. Dominique, you're a meditator.
I am. What I encourage people, shall we take a break and then we can talk a little bit about meditation?
Sure. Let's do it. We'll be back with more. Ryan Quirk and his new book, An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, right after these messages. All you cowboys get your ride on. Now ride on. All you cowboys get your ride on. Come on and work it for me and let your body move. We are here together and we're in the groove. We gon' party tonight, we gon' dance around. Where are my steppers at that know how to get down?
Come on, step it to your right. Now step it to your left. Now right out in.
We are back, and this is Santa Barbara Hour Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday
at 9 a.m.
Hello, this is Teen Sports Radio, Dominique Hackett, and we're going to have a quick discussion on the powerful effect of meditation. So I just wanted to say, if no one has ever experienced what meditation is, pretty much all of us have sat and looked at either a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset. And when you're staring at that beautiful sunrise or beautiful sunset, and you hear that quiet around you, and you just kind of hit that almost like a trance-like state, and then you go, wow, where'd the time go? It just felt lovely in my body, and there was just a gentleness to it all. That's very similar to various states of consciousness, where it's a relaxation moment. And you're literally giving your body's parasympathetic nervous system a chance to reboot, because the body is built for health. And so that's what meditation does, is it helps the body do a reset on all of its different components and states of emotion and states of mental health. And you do a reset and you come back to that calm awareness of I am-ness, which is a very content place to be. So, Ryan, tell us your more experience about your 10-15 minute meditation you do every morning.
Yeah. Well, I first started when I saw this. There's this study that said that human beings have like tens of thousands of thoughts a day, and roughly 80% or more, I think it's like 60 to 80% of those thousands of thoughts are negative. And anyone can really attest to this. You know, you're going about your day, you're like, what do I got to do later? I got to make plans. Oh my God, did I get the groceries? Did I do that assignment? Oh my God, I'm 5 minutes late. And your mind is getting pulled in 10 different directions. And meditation is so, so powerful. Part of the biggest thing for me and why it's so powerful is because of this one thing, and I touch on this in my book, which is your thoughts directly influence how you feel. And nothing matters more than how you feel. Because if you're thinking thousands and thousands of thoughts a day and they're so primarily negative and chaotic, and even if they're not negative, but they're just taking you in 10 different directions, you're going to feel very tired. You're not going to feel so great. You're not going to feel so good. But when you calm the mind, you not only calm the mind and the thoughts, but you calm your emotional energy, the energy of the heart. Right? Emotion quite literally means energy in motion. And your thoughts and your feelings, your mind and your heart, they feed off of one another. So if you're thinking negative thoughts all the time and chaotic thoughts, your emotional state is going to feel pretty chaotic. If you calm the mind and you start to gently tune yourself with thoughts of appreciation and gratitude and love, then your heart's going to feel pretty full, right? And so that's one of the biggest things for meditation, is just my quality of life is just so much better because the dominant energy and motion in state, the dominant energy and motion states that I live by is joy and love. And that feeds every aspect of life too. I mean, I was an athlete in high school and a hockey player. And I remember when I was like first trying to go out for the varsity team, I was so nervous. My mind was being pulled in 10 different directions and I was overthinking and stuff like that. And then I was, when I was first getting into meditation, I saw that athletes like Kobe Bryant and Michael Phelps and these elite performers were meditating daily, going through these processes of calming the mind and getting into that flow state of being, that state of peak performance. And yeah, I would say it's absolutely integral as a tool for me, at least. And it's one that I highly share and touch on in the book. And I think people also get it wrong, because it's in actuality, it's really so simple. They think they have to meditate for hours and hours a day. If you give 5 minutes to it in the morning, your whole day will be transformed.
It's true. You know, we had a doctor, Andrea and Seifert, and she was a osteopath, and she started off the show with us almost 15 years ago, and then she went off and wrote a book. We love you, Dr. Andrea. And she taught me how to meditate, and it was the fun part of it was that she parks me in a park, literally. And of course, then and then must have some tour bus, so I have like hundreds of people, okay, walking by us when I'm on a park bench. And I wanted to, like, oh my God, I was a fright. My first experience meditating was frightening, because I'm picturing all these people look by me, okay, these tourists from another country, okay, thinking like, oh my God, what's wrong with her, okay? Because it's kind of was a weird look. But it was, the fun part of it was where it was, she says, just before we started, like 20 minutes, and she set an alarm, and there's apps you could buy for meditation and everything if you want to just set it, and there's gong. Oh, you can do meditations all different kinds of ways. But I just sat there, and she said, it's like surfing. So don't resist any of the feelings. And you actually have hundreds of thousands of feelings or emotions or thoughts during, you know, in a period of a day, hundreds of thousands, either in your conscious or subconscious. And it just goes all over the place. So what I tried to do, and I was religious about it, her thing was 10 and 2. And there's a global meditation unit that you belong to. And they could see people from all over the world that are meditating with you. It's kind of cool. Like it all depends how big you want to get in on this. But at least you're like forming your own little patterns, your groups and stuff. But the whole surfing for me, that was a great tool because you just go with it. You trust and you just go with it. I know. Dr. May, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, so meditation is a powerful tool. And I know many people have witnessed a huge change in their life because of meditation. So, yes, I fully agree.
Yes. Master Curtis wants to tell us about his meditation.
Well, one thing that we do is after a good hard workout, we just sit in stillness for even just like you said, even just a short amount of time, even just 1 minute to get that balance between the movement and then stillness. And we find that sometimes I'll think I taught such a great class and I'll ask the black belts, hey, what was the best part of class? They say the meditation at the end, you know, where I literally taught nothing and they did nothing. They just sat there. And so I find every martial arts master I've ever interviewed, because I've met a lot of really great grandmasters, they all say the same thing you just said, Ryan, that meditation is the most important thing. They will say that of all the techniques they've ever learned, that meditation was the most important thing of all. So that's so cool that listening about your self-mastery journey, I mean, you sound like a martial artist to me. So I'm curious, what do you do for motion? What do you do for exercise?
Yeah, well, the book that I wrote here is it's broken up into four pillars. So or three sections really, which is the first section is mental emotional mastery. The second section is physical mastery. And the third section is spiritual mastery. So in that second section, physical mastery, I talk about my physical mastery journey because I think it's absolutely vital. It brings me back to a quote in a teaching that I heard, which is, what did it go like? It was a happy person wants a million things, but a sick person only wants one. And that is to be healthy, right? And just to understand the absolute wealth that health is, it's so key. It's so crucial. When you're healthy, every other arena of your life is benefited, whether that's career, that's relationships. You feel more energetic, more enthusiastic. And in many ways, you know, if you've ever experienced a runner's high or a really hard workout, it's very meditative in many ways, right? Because as you're going, it's I love what you said about the stillness piece, which is, the greatest athletes or maybe martial artists who are doing all of these amazing, complex, fast movements physically and outwardly, inwardly are absolutely calm and still. And that's that flow state of being. And it really works as one, right? The mind and body are not separate. When you get healthy, you're also going to increase your happiness. And when you get happier, your health is going to increase as well. So they really feed off of one another.
Nice. Hey, listen, we got another section. I'm loving this. This is talk about learning. Talk about tips and tools for teens. This is what we're about on T-Sports Radio. We'll be back with more after these messages. I hear a song that takes me back, and I let go with so much freedom. And this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in.
Every single Tuesday.
9 a.m. Wow, if you just joined us, you are late, okay? In the house, we've got Ryan Quirk. And he's an amazing, magical being. And I'm really so excited and blessed that he's on the show today. He's written a book. an 18-year-old's guide to self-mastery. And what I want to do, let's just pick up with, okay, you get up one morning after meditation, you took your cold shower, and is that when it hit you? I'm going to write a book today. How did the book get started?
Yeah, so I was actually sitting in a college class. So before I went to Santa Barbara City College, I was at school for one semester in upstate New York. And I was reading a lot of self-help books, a lot of kind of different spiritual texts and all different types of things. I was really just trying to understand what makes an extraordinary life. How can we find health, happiness, great connection, success in all arenas of life? And so I was reading these books and I was sitting in class, and I'm going to be very honest with you here. The class was not that interesting to me. I had my notebook out and really, I actually had my computer out. I was typing. And instead of paying attention to what the teacher was saying, I started writing. I started connecting these ideas. And I didn't even realize it was a book. It was just kind of notes that I was connecting from a few different teachings that I had been learning. And all of a sudden, I kind of slipped into this altered state of consciousness. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And someone tapped me at the end of the class and said, "Hey, class is over. You're like, you look like you were still like taking notes." And I looked up and I had like 10 or 15 pages in front of me, and I looked at it and I go, "Oh, it's a book." And that's just kind of how it hit me. And I'd worked on it for a year and a half since I started when I was 18 years old. I'm 19 now. But yeah, it took me a year and a half. I wrote it, had an amazing editing team help me out as well, who actually, one of them is an 18-year-old as well. So it's really touching in on that theme of, the book is for anyone of all ages, but that young people hold a lot of wisdom and can give a lot to the world.
I'm so happy because I've been talking to so many of my friends that are administrators and schools and everything, and this COVID population that has been created that are in high school right now, it's just a very disconnected, disjointed group of kids. Okay, this is the first year in going on our 15th year that it was a difficult time for me to assemble teen co-hosts. We have always had teen co-hosts doing the sports. We've always had them come on the show because it's great broadcasting experience. It's a great line item on your college resume. You know, Ryan, I don't know where you're going to end up after CC, but putting you on there, co-host on Teen Sports Radio, the biggest on SoundCloud this week, the number one listening group, okay, number one place listening to our show is Paris, okay? So the top seven places, four of them are not in the United States. So Brussels, Tokyo, Germany. So we have a global platform, and I'm so thankful, okay, to you again and again for being here today. Sky, can you see the resemblance? Honestly, it's the hair, right? Can you see the hair, Sky? You know, I'm not the only guy with hair now, okay?
I think it's that maybe that East Coast to West Coast or whatever it is. But, you know, honestly, I wish I were at the state of evolution at 18 where Ryan was at that time. Because, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it's taken me so long to get there on my own journey. But, you know, I think people like us just have a... you know, are meant to help people heal because we have to heal ourselves. And I think that, you know, that definitely creates a similarity. I feel like you can read that in someone, you know, someone like Dr. May as well, you know, all of these people that go through our own healing journeys and, you know, want to give that information to other people. It, you know, it really, really connects us because we're the people that can help other people to be able to kind of, you know, look within and, you know, change up their habits and, you know, as we were talking about with meditation, kind of be able to step back and look at yourself and, you know, being able to teach people how to step back and look at themselves from an outside perspective. Like that's where the growth comes from, because you can't grow unless you can see yourself, because you're just not aware otherwise. Right. But when the observer is heightened and you can look at yourself, meditation does that, because meditation forces you to kind of just sit and observe your thoughts as they come. Right. I have to admit, I'm not a meditator. I have to be a little bit more in my body. So I go through the network chiropractic, and you know, I have different nerves stimulated that stimulate areas of the brain that, you know, help to heighten that observer effect to where, you know, I can learn and grow and adapt that way. Because I'm too in my head otherwise. Like meditation, I think also kind of a bit more out of my body. So I kind of have to do something that's, you know, kind of akin to the martial arts effect where, you know, I'm able to just kind of, you know, tie in a little more strongly that brain body connection. But I think that, you know, skills like that, like meditation, whether chiropractic, martial arts, like all of these things allow us to step outside of ourselves, look at ourselves, see and witness the types of things that we want to change, the types of things that we want to grow from, and then be able to kind of compare to other people and what's going on in their lives to be able to say, oh, that's how I want to be, or that's how I don't want to be. And to be able to kind of, you know, pick and choose and take on the characteristics that we want and that we align with, and then disregard or abandon the ones that we don't necessarily want, so we can become who we're meant to be without interference.
Meditation probably could be one of the tools that we keep promoting to help and reconnect society and our community. We could start off each of us locally and really encourage everybody that you see and talk to and meet and greet and everything, because we were so shattered, right? And everybody individually needs to get back into, it's like exactly what Ryan's book says, self-mastery. You can't, if you're cracked for whatever reason, you need to come back to center before you could shine your light on everybody else. And there's some of us that are ahead of, because I never got into the whole COVID thing, you know, I never got COVID, never got into it. I mean, I just waited for the, you know, the COVID cloud to pass. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm so grateful and thankful. And Ryan, please join us again and again and again. I'd love to make you a co-host. I'd love to set you up with Richard Dugan and our producer, and we'll get a commercial out there for you to promote your book, An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery. It's available on Amazon.
Yes.
And it's right here in my hand, and I'm enjoying it. And I'll have it done by the time you're back with us next week. How's that? Promise.
That sounds awesome. And I would just like to say, thank you so much for having me on. This is absolutely wonderful what you guys do. And it's just been a pleasure.
And I got to tell everybody that you're a co-host on Teen Sports Radio. That's the only thing you got to do this week. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Woo! We got SB360 right after these messages. Stay here. Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m. Here we go. Hey, Dr. D, check this out. Oh. You can see me. Can you see me now? My water bottle. What does that say?
I see that you voted. Aha.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, you did. Very good.
A couple of thousand people every 15 minutes listen to this. So if this is a reminder,
please
just get out there. We're not talking politics. We're talking about staying present. And if you're going to be talking it, you got to walk it. So you got to get out there and vote.
There you go.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
right
it.
There.
We had a great show today. Great show. I just want to give some love to Ryan Quirk real fast. Hey, and if you're a teen, or if you're a parent of a teen or a grandparent of a teen, please check out this book, 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery. I love it. I want to give a little love, too, to my neighbor, Rosa. I see you. She's my neighbor. She's been listening to the show. You got to love her.
Yep.
So let's get to it. You want to go first?
I will tell you that the athletes of the week are Jesse DiMaggio from Dos Pueblos in the baseball arena, or stadium, if you will, or ballpark. I still love the ball game, the game of baseball, when it's played on the local and regional levels, not so much the professional. But then you have the athlete of the week on the women's side. You have Elena Stump from Santa Barbara Track and Field, which I was pretty good at, but it was more in grade school, not so much in high school. So congratulations to Jesse and Alina for their victory, if you will. They're being selected as the athlete of the week for this week. It's fantastic. I'm happy for them. It's very, very cool. Erica?
Okay, nationally, we can't not give a shout out to Caitlin Clark. She did it, all-time leading scorer. You know, we could argue like scoring, you know, versus guys. There was no 3-point. And we're not even going back before 1982 when they've other been records. But you know, for right now, what she accomplished is absolutely amazing. She's a great mentor to our female athletes out there. Great job. Clap, clap. Locally here, Channel Islands, we have honors to give out to lady basketball players. All schools, Dos Pueblos, San Marcos, and Santa Barbara High, all had first teamers. We got Justin Katz for DP Chargers. We've got Carly Nielsen, San Marcos Royals. And as far as bringing up SB High School Dons, we have Daisia Mendoza, and she was always lighting it up all season. So congratulations, ladies. What do you got, Dee?
Absolutely. Well, what we do have is Laguna Blanca boys volleyball puts together a strong showing at the Morro Bay tournament, and basically they reached the semifinal matchup of the Morro Bay tournament over the weekend, and the Owls went 5-2 on the weekend, eventually falling to Madera South in a one-game semifinal on Saturday. So, well, you know, that's why they play the games, because anybody can win on any given day. Congratulations to the winners, and you know, continue on, continue fighting on for the next win.
All right, now to the pool we go, Dr. D. SBCC made program history this last weekend in their swim and dive team. They won first time ever Mount SAC Invitational last Friday and Saturday. The standouts were Lily Carrick scored 105 points by herself. Now the Vaqueros are 3-0, and they'll be a team to watch this season. Woohoo! Didn't even know it! Look at this!
Yeah.
The silence! I love it! All of a sudden, boom! Program history. You got to love that. What do you got?
Absolutely. Well, Westmont men's basketball. It's amazing that basketball seems like it's almost year-round, but it is not. They earn a 73-71 overtime win on senior night. That's always fun to do on senior night. Basically, the senior night in Santa Barbara, Westmont Warriors, they left the merch. They left, I believe that's correct, of the merch, with a feel-good 73-71 win in overtime, ending their first season in the NCAA on a high note. On the receiving end of the loss were the Concordia Golden Eagles, who simply could not put Westmont away. The Warriors come away with a great victory, so congratulations to them, Erica.
Well, we had, let's go softball. We had two slugfests locally last week. Want to talk about it. San Marcos High School, 15-10. They beat the Lompoc Braves on the road last Thursday. Shouts to Solana Sandoval, Lucy Desert, Caitlin Early, Tiana Monahan, and Charlotte Hastings. Nice job, ladies. And finally, Bishop Lady Cardinals is in the news. Well, they tied 13-13. Guess how they ended in a tie? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea how they did that.
In darkness! Okay? Ran out of light! Okay?
But of course.
So that was against Castaic. And sadly, they were up actually in extra innings in the top of the eighth by 3, but ran out of light. So I don't know what I would have done in that case. I think I would have taken a run or two runs and just, you know, just got out. Boom, boom, boom. You know, because tying is like what? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, no, cousins. It's like tying is. I would have said, let's do a coin flip.
There you go.
I would have said, I don't know, bat off. Do something. What would you do?
There you go. I have no idea, but what I can tell you is I wouldn't do it in the weather, but it was a significant factor in both games of a conference baseball doubleheader at Caro B. Land Stadium at Point Loma Nazarene, where basically on Saturday, with the wind blowing out to right field and several innings played in the rain, well, Westmont, which is 10-6-3, I don't know, and I guess that's conference play is 2-1-1. They won their first game 15-13. Holy mackerel! And the second game was called Here we go again, Erica. For darkness after nine innings and ended in a 4-4 tie. That was the men's baseball. So pretty crazy.
Let me round out here because, you know, I can't not give love. Okay,
go for
Bishop.
It.
We haven't gotten a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, Bishop love here. All right. We got to step up. My kids graduated from Bishop. But
all right.
Let's give shouts to this. Their season is smoking, and we're looking at Chelsea Hayes, Tarek Gregson, who I used to bop up and down on my knee while we're watching her older brother Jack Gregson play baseball. So I didn't forgive her that, Tarek. I didn't forget you not sharing your Doritos with me either. Okay. She was watching my carbs when she was 4 years old.
Lauren
Weeks and Tessa Johansson. All right. These ladies are killing it. We got to watch them this season. God bless everybody. Get out, folks. See you next week.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a buzzer with no breaks. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single